I got to be up north for Thanksgiving, and it was cold. Missed the snow. The cloud cover came in and warmed it up just a little bit, but it was cold enough to snow while we were up there. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I'm going to also be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. For the tape room, the title of the message today is Thanks Be to God. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you understand the origin of our Thanksgiving holiday, but the world is trying to pervert that as much as it is anything else. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, they change the truth so much when truth is unchangeable. Amen. History has been perverted. It's so glad that we have a Christian school and that we are able to hunt books that hold the truth and hold history true. And, you know, we live in a day and age where they want to tear down every symbol of men of valor, of men of, and again, you say, well, they didn't stand for the right thing. Well, it's still true of history. Even our Bible that is perfect records the sins of men because it actually happened. Because it's a book of history. But I'm thankful that his story, the one that the book is written about, knew no sin. And came as a sinless Son of God and died on Calvary to pay for my sin debt. Folks, I don't know about you today, but I'm a thankful person. I'm not thankful just because of the life of my grandfather and all that is, but I'm thankful that, as I said before this morning, got to preach over in the campground, I just can't tell you enough that when I go back, I got a lot of things to be thankful for. And thanks be to God that a sinner like me one day, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know, I can't tell you enough, I can't say it enough, I can't testify enough that I was changed. I was different. Boy, the day, I think I was a pretty good guy. I didn't smoke or drink or cuss or run with people that did those things. I don't have a testimony that I was saved out of a barroom brawl or playing music in a nightclub. I can't tell you that I was saved, but just like any other man, I was saved from my sin the day that I was born again and came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Knew all about him, had been to church, I had played church. I had told other people about how good God was without knowing the goodness of God myself. Growing up in a local church like this, a good local church that taught me the good doctrine, but God waited on me. The promises of God continued on and reached down into my soul and came in. I mean, I'm telling you, when I called on him, he saved me just like he said he would. And he had to wait on me a while, but I'm telling you today, when Thanksgiving comes around for me, I can't help. I have so many things to be thankful for. But number one on my list is the day that Jesus showed up in my life. It changed me. I've never been the same, folks. I don't ever want to go back and shackle myself to the things in the life that I had before, but I thank God for the life that I now live. Is what the Apostle Paul said. I'm blessed, folks. I'm blessed. When I came into Haines City, a place that I told you before, I didn't know what they made in this town. You know. What would you think they made in this town? Underwear. It's Haines. Haines City. Right? But I found out there was no factory for that here. Amen. Hey, folks, we got history. If we're not careful, they'll pervert the history of the town to that. But here in the scripture, we're commanded here in 1 Thessalonians, if you know the book is written to the local church at Thessalonica. I did get to listen to pastor's message, and I believe he mentioned this, but here he says in chapter 5, and he's writing to a church to let them know that those that had gone on before, those that had passed on, they didn't understand some things about the church and about the, you know, that believers that had already, as the Bible uses the term, sleep. It doesn't give the connotation that those that are dead in Christ are dead, but sleep. The Bible uses that terminology because they're not dead in their trespasses and sin anymore. They've been quickened and made alive unto God. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. He gives us a one verse here, and he's saying and trying to close out the book under the inspiration of God as he writes to this church. And he uses this term after he says, pray without ceasing in verse 17 and verse 18. He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are oftentimes in this life, one of the things that I have sought for as a young man and desired to be in the middle of was the will of God. I always wanted to know God's will and to do it. And I found as I progressed and I grew in the faith that God's word was full of his will. That if I would just read it and study it, listen to it preached, and follow what was taught to me, that I could be in and doing the will of God. And I was thinking about Thanksgiving, and I thought of all the things that I could be thankful for. Second of all, after my salvation, is to know that the God that saved me had a will for my life. He had laid out plans for me that he had specific. There, some of them are specific to me, but really they're specific to his local church. And one of those things is for me to be thankful. He says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It was remarkable to me, as I kind of give you some introduction this morning, just let me remind you that my grandfather's house burnt down, burnt up on one corner of it, I mean really, and then it was filled full of water to put that thing out, and he was burned, and I mean it was just a traumatic experience for him. But one of the things that has blessed my heart is over and over again, people have found things to be thankful for in the midst of tragedy. In the midst of the tragic thing, I listened to the testimonies on Wednesday night as I drove through the night coming back here, and I listened to person after person who through the year have found things that are, I mean, to me, they're very tragic, but they found thing after thing after thing to be thankful for and said, thanks be to God that he brought these things. My mom said, you know, my grandfather's 92 and she's been trying to get him to come into the home. And she said, you know, I'm thankful. I don't know if that's what it took for him to be able to move in and feel like he belongs here. You know, sometimes even with us, and I'm looking out at a crowd of people that are, some are younger and some are older, but you know, sometimes we're stubborn. I are one. My wife said amen. You didn't hear her over there just now. Amen. But I mean, I don't think they made them. If they broke the mold on the most hard-headed and stubborn person, it's me. All right? Paul said that of himself, but I'll say of me, listen, I mean, I could be that way, but I mean, if I got it from anybody, that DNA came from my grandfather all the way down to me. And he's that person, you know. He wanted to be independent, wanted to be by himself, one of the things. And I thought to myself, how in the tragedy, you say, well, it took something like this. But listen, folks, you know, sometimes God does crazy things in our lives to move us to where he wants us. He'll do things and bring things to pass in our lives that we would think are unthinkable. But God wants desperately what is best for us and will work on helping make that happen in your life to get you there. I have heard story after story about people that had tragic accidents, but that's what God had to do to bring them to the point of salvation. I've heard story after story of children being taken before a man would surrender to the work of God in his life. I've heard of story after story of houses and lands or goods and things that God had to do in the lives of his people to bring them to a point of willing to do God's will and work in his life. Hey, folks, I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want God to have to burn my house down to move me into a place that he wants me to be in. Hey, I don't want God to have to strike me with a car to move me into his will. I want to be willing to step out into his will with thanksgiving. Thanking God for his goodness. Do you know, so most of the time when we go before the throne of grace, most of us don't even think or can fathom the idea that a man, a woman can walk into the throne room of heaven with their prayers and cast them at the feet of an almighty God. I'm not talking about all the sorry gods that people make up about or say it's a moon god or say it's this or that that people carve out with their hands, but the Almighty who made all that is in the universe today, that God, I can go boldly before the throne of grace because of what Jesus has done for me on Calvary. But I walk in there and cast all my wants at his feet. I walk into the throne room and tell him all about my problems. Never offering thanksgiving. I said to my class before, you know, my kids think my name is Jimmy. Because they always say, gimme, gimme, gimme. Y'all had that before? But they get wise to that. Your kids grow up and they become teenagers. And they come over to this thing and they know. They say, Dad, you're the best dad in all the world. I love you so much. You're the best preacher in all the world. I know they're lying. I know they're buttering me up. And it works every time. But it sure helps. Instead of just walking up and casting all the things that they want. It's so much better when they come in and say, boy, I'm thankful for this. And I'm thankful for that. And their mind is right. You know, we have so much to be thankful for, folks. If God never blessed us again. In the United States of America, just what Pastor preached about. And what's going on in other countries of the world. The freedoms that still remain true to the believer. I mean, you know, I was up in Delaware, the first state. I said, I come from the free state, Florida. Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, I'm just here to tell you, we've got blessings beyond blessings just having been in Florida through all this craziness. I've got more to thank God for than I could ever list or mark down or remember with this finite brain of mine. But when I go before the throne of grace, I want to enter into his gates. The idea of thanksgiving is giving. It's not an idea of taking. It's an idea of looking back and saying, God has been so good. I thank God that we had some folks, you know, I mean, if you know our history, it wasn't until about 1863 that Abraham Lincoln finally made Thanksgiving a national holiday. Amen. And some liberals, FDR, I'm sorry, maybe I hurt somebody's feelings, progressives, decided to move it around. But they finally put it back where it was. Because Americans got mad and rose up against it. And they put it back where it ought to be, where it was set originally. And many of us don't know that history of all those things and it becoming a national holiday. But you know, every year, you know, when you set Thanksgiving as a national holiday, you know what? We don't think about it this way. But we had a president in Abraham Lincoln who said, God is so good. He's been so good to us in the past. We can set a day that we'll just look back because God is always going to be good. God is always going to be good. And every year we're going to have to, we can take a time to look back on his goodness and his greatness. Folks, I don't know about you, but this scripture, when you go back into this book and you go Old Testament on the word thanksgiving, it is an offering to God. It is bringing something and offering it to God. It's bringing something and giving to him. So many times we make thanksgiving an event that we enjoy. But thanksgiving was set up to be a time in our nation that God enjoyed. When his people took time to gather in their mind and in their heart all that God had done in their midst in that year. You know, that's the whole purpose of it. For us, you say, well, what do we have to look forward to? The world's going to pot. And I mean, you know, it looks like we're going to have another 3 years or what, 2.5 years. I don't want to stretch it out. Whatever it is left of the same thing. Hey, folks, we've got so much to be thankful for. So much. I was thankful when I got back into the free state. Amen. I was thankful when I got in the county. I said, they're not going to mess with me now. Grady Judd's got it handled. Amen? Hey, folks, we've got so much to be thankful for. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you turn, I want to read verse 18 again. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, this church had a lot of problems. He writes a letter to try to do a lot of correcting. But you know, if you do all correction and you don't give any encouragement, you have trouble. Because without a relationship with people, you build rebels, according to the way I was raised. No relationship makes people rebel. And Paul here has a relationship with the church at Corinth, and he's writing to try to correct some things to them. But near the end, he wants to give them that encouragement. He wants to remind them exactly whose they are. And when he reminds them whose they are, he reminds them about a victory that's already been won. He says to them a classic verse that we'll read in a moment, but one of my favorite statements in the scripture is, "O death, where is thy sting?" Look at it with me if you would. He starts out and says some things, but let's read just that verse and we'll go back. He says in verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Folks, I don't know about you, but when I got in to salvation, I remember the day that I gripped the pew and I held on. It wasn't a day, but yet a night. It was close to midnight and the night hour was passing. The preacher had preached about salvation, that if you got saved, you could go to heaven. Or if you didn't get saved or born again, according to the scripture, you were bound for a devil's hell. I had heard that all my life, but I did not realize until that moment the drawing of the Holy Spirit on my inner soul that I was not saved. It had been a long drawing. A lot of things happening in my life to reveal to me that I needed to receive Christ, because I had had a day where I came and I made a profession at 5. But sitting in that pew and gripping the top of it, I began to think to myself, why did you step out? Was there conviction on your soul at 5 years old? You say you can't remember back when you were 5. Preacher remembers when he's 3. I can remember at least where I was 5. Okay? Amen. All right? I'm gripping that pew. And I did. I went back in my mind's eye and I thought to myself, I didn't step out until others went. 2 of my friends stepped out and went to the altar. And as I contemplated, and I even believe the Holy Spirit of God tried to help me bring back those memories, as I contemplated my salvation, and I realized that I went because somebody else went. There was no conviction on my soul. I was just a 5-year-old boy. My friends were going. I might as well go too. When I got to the altar, I remembered the question, "What are you here for?" I went, "I don't know." And the person said, "Do you want to go to heaven?" Now, that's like asking a dog if he wants a bone. I said, "Yes." And they took the Bible and showed me how to be saved. Now, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember anything that they opened the scripture and read to me. I couldn't recall anything past that point. But every time I had ever had a doubt of my salvation, I can tell you what happened from 7 to 9 to 10 or 11. My parents went, "You're saved. You remember when you prayed? You're saved. You remember?" And like a lot of Christmases, the only thing I remembered was the things that they told me that happened, not what really happened on the inside of me. And boy, I'm telling you, I thought to myself, what will my preacher think? I'm one of the most popular kids in the youth group. What will the youth group think? I liked a girl. What will your wife think? What will your father-in-law think? I mean, it wasn't my father-in-law yet, but he was going to be. I had already set that in my heart and mind. Hey, what's he going to think? Do you know it was on that third verse of me holding on and holding on and holding on that I said, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm not going to hell for anybody. And I can tell you, if I could pen down the words that were written on my soul. The moment that I stood up and I got saved was, oh death, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Amen. Verse 56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now this morning, I want to preach just in the last 10 minutes on verse 58. Verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want thanks be to God to be the anthem of my soul. Amen. I want thanks be to God to be the anthem of this church. I want thanks be to God to be the anthem of our country. I want thanks be to God to be the anthem of our Christian school and of my family and of my life. But thanks be to God. Every victory, every mile, every challenge that happens in the lives of God's people, the first thing that could be said or should be said of our lips is thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. Hey folks, I'm not a defeated person this morning because I've already won the victory. You said, well, you don't have problems. Sure, I have problems. Sure, I have bills. Sure, I have aches. Sure, I have pain. Sure, we have battles and struggles and strife. But thanks be to God that the victory's already been won through Jesus Christ. I can tell you this morning, it doesn't matter how bad it gets. I know where I'm going. Can I just tell you the testimony of my grandfather? He said, it didn't matter if I burned up anyway, I knew where I was going. It would have only been burning this body, because I got a new one waiting on me. Amen. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to tell you this morning, thanks be to God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've decided I'm not going to spend much time with a poochie lip. Do you know what that is? That's a Patch the Pirate song. You ought to listen to it. If there was anything worth looking up on YouTube, it's Patch the Pirate. You'll smile, put a smile on your face. I'm not going to get the poochy lip disease. I'm not going to be soured down with this life. I'm going to live, thank God, thanks be to God this morning that God has given me the victory. Amen. Hey, I understand if you came in this morning and you can't shake the poochy lip because it's only a good coffee that'll put a small smile on your face because you're not saved. Hey, if you can't shake the down and outers, it's because you don't remember that God gave you the victory a long time ago. When you look down deep in your soul and realize that you've got something that God gave you that is worth giving offering after offering after offering to Him, that you gave me another year to serve you. You gave me another year to praise you. You gave me another year to be in your house. You gave me another year to tell God, hey, God, I'm here to serve you and to do your will. Hey, I don't know about you, but thanks be to God that He's given us the victory to live. Look at verse 58. You want to know how to live? Thankful that you got the victory? Therefore. You know, every time that word shows up, it's there for something. He says, because we have the victory, because the victory has been won, because we can give thanks be to God, how should my life be lived? He says, number one, be steadfast. Now, I don't know about you. I'm going to grab this handheld mic because I'm about to move. Now, I don't know if you have trouble or sickness. This is the time to take some Dramamine or something because I'm about to move, okay? And so, where did I put it? It was a slight amount of movement. I got this thing, guys. Thank you so much. Thanks be to God. How about this? He says, be steadfast. Now, the word steadfast, I don't know if you steadfast. I got to grab a chair. Because the best way to be steadfast is be seated. You say, you're just trying to sit down. You would want to take a rest too if you were up here. Hey folks, steadfast. Be steadfast. You know the word actually means in its basest definition to sit. Do you know what happened when I got saved? I rested in Jesus Christ. That means
that before the foundation of the world, God the Father said, I will have salvation for all men. He chose it for me. He chose the chair for me to be seated in. And the chair came from heaven, was born in a manger, lived a perfect life, and died on Calvary. And his name is Jesus Christ. And when I rested in him, he sealed me. The Holy Spirit came in. You can't see him, but you can see his fruit in my life. You can see what he's doing through me. You can say there's something different about him, not because of me, but because of who's in me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hey, folks, I'm seated in Jesus Christ. Say, I can't do that. You can't be steadfast. You're all doing it right now. Except for the guys in the sound room. Amen. He's waving. He's listening. Good. All right, so steadfast. I'm being steadfast. Think about this. Unmovable. How much faith does it take to be unmovable? What does it mean? Do you know when he constantly talks to the Galatian church, he said, oh, foolish Galatians. He's talking about who moved you from that. Who moved you from that faith? Who moved you from that doctrinal soundness of being steadfast in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know there are all kinds of people that want to preach Jesus plus works? Now, do you think it's easier to sit in this chair like it is? Or if I have to sit now, I know all of you are thinking I'm desecrating a songbook. But it's just a songbook. This is not comfortable. I want to move already. But think about if you tried to sit on that thing for a while. It'd make you squirm. You say, Brother Parsons, this is not... Hey, I'm trying to give you pictures here. I'm sorry, Brother Bird, I messed up your page. Look at that. Steadfast. Unmovable. You say, well, who can do that? That sounds hard. That sounds like only a tough man can do it. No. Steadfast. Unmovable. Same place. Listen, I don't know about you, but when you get born again and God doesn't move you, you know, I want God to find me. You know, I've had two church homes in my whole life. One I was born again into that home church. And then God moved me here in his will. You know, we ought not be jumping all around church to church everywhere. We ought to find a place to be home. And we ought to be steadfast, unmovable. And you know why? Because he wants us to abound. You say, how can I be steadfast, unmovable, and look at the scripture with me. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, the work of the Lord was not given to just one person. It was given to God's church. You know, otherwise, when we talk about the Great Commission, see, it's missions month, so I'm going to try to bring in missions here. All right, I'm not going to try to be coy. I'm just going to go ahead and talk to you about it. The Great Commission was given to the Lord's church to complete, not to a disciple, not to Peter, not just to John, not just the big three, but to his church. Before he ascended into heaven, the last command that God gave was for us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. For those teachers, in Matthew, it says teach. That means everybody can do it. It's not exclusive just to the preacher, but we can go teach other people about what we got when we got Jesus and tell them how they can get it. This morning, at the campground, I got to preach a message and preach. Man, I just bore my heart to them about how God, I'm so thankful what God did in my heart and soul. And I said, hey, is there anybody else there that needs it? Is there anybody? I guess there's nobody. And you know, when I said, I guess there's nobody that needs it, a hand went up. Now, let me tell you, it's at the campground. There was nobody under the age of 59 and holding. You say, well, is that precious? Listen, anytime. It don't matter how old the soul is. A soul is eternal. And when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a precious thing. Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? The word abounding doesn't mean that we all have to jump. The Christian life is springing along. abounding. No. It doesn't, because again, it would be so in contrast to steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. The word abounding means that somewhere there is a fixed number and you want to beat it. Can I tell you what we just did in the bus campaign? We went through the bus campaign and we took the fixed number of what we had done in the past. And we said, we're going to give you a point for every person that you bring over that. Because I wanted the buses to abound. I wanted our bus workers to abound. To set a fixed number. Do you know how to abound in the Christian life? Say, Lord, I'm going to promise to pray for 1 minute. And next year, say, God, I'm going to pray for 2 minutes. God, I'm going to read one verse a day. And after you complete that, God, I'm going to read two. Do you know what happened in my life? I got saved, and I started to be steadfast. And at the beginning of my Christian life, my steadfast, unmovable was, I'm going to be in that church. I'm going to be in my place. I'm going to listen. And when the preacher preached, I began to abound. Because instead of missing Sunday nights sometimes like I used to, I was at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I began to grow. But I found that after a while, it wasn't enough for me. I had to start studying on my own. And I started reading my Bible on a daily basis. I started to pray to God on a daily basis. And I began to feel like I was abounding again in the work of God. And then it wasn't enough for me to study in private. I wanted to tell people, because my cup was spilling over about what God had did in my private devotions. And I had to go and I got a Sunday school class. And I started to tell everybody in there, hey, this is what God told me this week. And then they took me out of my Sunday school class and they made me the junior church director in my late 20s. For years, I preached to young people about what God was doing and what he was stirring my heart about. And then my preacher said, you're already doing it. Our youth pastor quit. You're already running that group. Why don't you just take them? They all know you. You'd had them in junior church. I began to teach teenagers. Hey, folks, and I don't know about you, but they're trying people. Because they want to know why. Why do I dress right? Why do I have to live right? Why do I give a tithe? What does God want? They wanted to know where it was in the Bible. Boy, I couldn't just say what was right. I had to dig it out and say, here it is, chapter and verse for you. You know, I had no idea before I became a youth leader what the Bible said about tattoos. But teenagers made me learn it. I learned where, I read in history and looked in the scripture about where the origin of earrings came from. Yeah, right. Hey, teenagers will make you work, folks. Right. If you don't believe it, go spend one day over at the high school. I challenge you to abound over there. Hey, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. You may think that is all for God. You know, for a long time in my Christian life, I believed that all that work was for God. And I realized he did get glory out of my life, me being a witness and me growing. But really, God was working on me the whole time. I was the one that he was working in my life. I was the one seated in a place. And I, you know what? When I got seated in Jesus Christ, I had a foundation. I knew that I knew that I knew that I was on my way to heaven. I had something to build on then. That's a strong foundation. It was so strong, it wasn't shaken. It was unmovable. People say, well, what about God this? And I'd say, God has always been. He said, what about your salvation? Well, it's kind of like I'm in Jesus' hand. And God the Father has Jesus in his hand. And that's how sure my salvation is. Who's going to pluck me out of the hand of God? Hey, folks, that's how unmovable my salvation became to me, because I heard it from the Word of God. And then I began to abound. You say, what'd you have to do to abound? I took the fixed number of what I did yesterday and decided I was going to beat it today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, I don't know where you are in your Christian life. I don't know where your fixed number would line up, but I know this. Hey, this is when it's going to get tough on you, all right? I'm encouraging you to buckle your seatbelt. We're coming in for a landing. We're either abounding in Jesus Christ or he has been abandoned in your life. I'm still going to church. Well, what were you doing? I mean, that's good. You're here this morning. Thank God for that. But you know, I've realized people that stop abounding are abandoning God in church. They still come, but they're given. Sometimes that stops long before they ever leave. And you may think, oh, the preacher's preaching on tithing again. Hey, folks, I'm just trying to help you and yours. Not me and mine. He'll start drilling holes in your pocket, and you say, God's not blessing like he used to. It's because you're not abounding like he used to. God's trying, you know, we started all this off. What will God do to bring you back into himself? To bring you to a place where you will do his will? God has done it to so many Christians, and he's not above doing it to you. Hey, because he loves you just that much. I want to finish where I started, steadfast, unmovable, and I want to abound until Jesus comes. This chapter speaks of a returning, victorious Jesus Christ coming back for the saints. I want to meet him right where I started. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. You say, how do you do that, preacher? Never be satisfied with yesterday in your Christian life. Always abounding in the work of God. I have been around folks. I do not want to talk about what I used to do for God. I want to tell people what I'm doing today. Sure, your job will change. I'm looking at a whole group of people that could tell me what you used to do before you retired. Doesn't mean you stop moving, giving, loving people. It means it changed. You went on to something different. But you can still abound in the work of the Lord. Many of you, I can tell as your preacher, you pray for me every day. And I've talked to you often about that. Brother Breaker talks about being able to feel the prayers. I want to tell you, folks, I'm over time, but it's still a good time to give thanks to the Lord. Can I just offer a praise to him? Amen. There are times in this life as the pastor already in a year, something comes on and I'm carrying that burden I feel like by myself. I feel like I'm carrying and toting the weight. And then I feel like when I get to the place where all of a sudden, the weight ain't as heavy as it used to be. It wasn't as heavy as it was. And I thought, you know, you say, well, I could think, well, you're just so big, you know, you're just a pack mule and you can take all that weight. You're getting stronger, preacher. No. I feel God's people praying and pulling some of the weight. See, sometimes I've got to quit. Can I just say it like this? I grew up on a farm town. And where I'm from, most of the people believe in God. And I heard my grandfather tell a story that my grandmother told him about her dad. Her dad was 28 when he surrendered to preach the gospel. He was behind the plow in the field. And like they do, you know, the field puts up all kinds of rocks and sticks. And he had hogs like everybody used to because you got to have bacon. Amen. And a good thing about a hog is he'll clear land for you. He'll root up a tree and root it all out. And he was pulling a stump with a couple of horses. And the chain broke. Things just went everywhere. And a piece of that machinery went by his head and cut him open. But not bad. He went into the house. You know, and he was thinking, I almost died. And his grandma, like they used to be, was still living in the home with him. Sitting by the fire. And she said, God laid you on my heart, boy, just a few minutes ago. And I prayed for you. I prayed for you. And my grandfather used to preach. Oh, my great-grandfather would preach and talk about, I wouldn't even be able to be here today if it wasn't for a saint. That when the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of them. Hey, folks, we're in the middle of missions conference. You don't think, I don't know what's going on in the lives of every one of our missionaries, but I know that God does. And in a room, you say, well, what could I do, preacher? I used to abound. I used to do all those things. Hey, how about get sensitive to the work of the Lord? Take a prayer book from the back. And when God stirs your heart, there was a man that was in our ministry every year, had a boys' home. People that we get personal with. And my heart would be broken in the midst of the day, in the midst of my work and all that I was going around. Just a church member. Just doing junior church, but at my work, I was turning wrenches and doing different things. And all of a sudden, deep in my soul, I felt burdened for Olin King in North Carolina, who had a boys' ranch. And I didn't say, God, help him with this. I said, oh, God, I don't know what's going on with Brother King today. But I beg you to help him. God, give him what he needs. God, lift his hands up where he is. God, help him what's going on. Listen, I don't know about you, but until Jesus comes, the church of Jesus Christ needs to realize that the victory has already been won. And places like this need to be steadfast in your place. Right where, unmovable, unshakable. Doesn't matter what comes or what happens in the tribulations of this world, I'm here. And I'm ready to abound in the work of the Lord until Jesus comes. Folks, the Great Commission is the work of God for the local church. Every one of us can have a part through giving, praying, or going, or all the other things in between. I don't know what your part is, but I know this. I want to be found marking yesterday and adding one more thing to it. And doing that for God until Jesus comes. Every day, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? The musicians are coming. You're here this morning and maybe you're not saved. God spoke to your heart this morning about salvation. You have not gotten to the place where you're steadfast yet. You don't have salvation. The musicians are playing. Brother Bert's about to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you're here and you're not saved, why don't you step out and come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and start being steadfast.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God.
With me this morning. Maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe you're here and you want to abound in the Lord, but you're not a member of a local church. You've never been baptized. You never joined the church. You know, you're steadfast and unmovable in this church, and you've been that way for a long time, but you've never joined it, either through statement or baptism. Listen, why don't you come and do that today? Why don't you join the Lord's church? it'd be another way to abound. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is to you this morning to come and step out and walk down here and let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, giving people opportunity to step out while you pray and Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God.
Sad when somebody doesn't come and get saved. But as we close out the invitation today, let me tell you this, that, you know, even if you don't walk down an old-fashioned aisle and get saved, you can still be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ. And as a preacher, I'd love to meet you at the back door. If you take the Bible, I'll take the Bible and show you how you'd be saved. We gather together, and yes, the message was to the Christian this morning mostly. But if you're here and you found your way in here like I did a long time ago, and realized in the midst, I've been in church, but I'm not born again. Well, why don't you stop me? I'll be at the back door, and I'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Amen. We're going to close out in prayer. I hope you'll come back tonight. We're pressing towards the end of our missions month. And so I hope that you're prayerfully praying and asking God what it is that He wants you to give to His work next year. Amen. We'll see you back here tonight. Brother Congdon, would you close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for the truth of the message this morning. Thank you for our pastor preaching his heart to us. And Father, thank you for, most of all, the victory in knowing a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for those that might not have claimed that victory, Lord, the invitation is still there for them to come to that saving knowledge. Be with us now. Thank you for what we've heard. Help us to apply it to our hearts. And Father, just help us to take it forth from this place. Help us to be the witness we ought to be. Bring us back tonight, ready to hear what you have for us. We'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.